know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, the kid here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good, man. Cannot complain. It is Friday.
Feeling a little foggy after our extraordinary experience last night with the Cigar Boys.
That's right. Last night was our debut at the Gentlemen's Cigar Club of Cleveland, one of the most prestigious gentlemen's clubs in all of this fine city, maybe the world. And we will talk about our experience last night there. I know Matt Wilhelm is itching to get on board.
I am.
And to become a part of the Gentlemen's Cigar Club of Cleveland. You may remember back on January the 16th, a show that goes down in Cleveland Browns Daily history when we had Kevin Jones and then we had Mike Judge come in and we had Jones versus Judge setting up that fight between...
Rebuttal the average salesman comment.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. And Mike Judge at that time came on and we were able to plug... You know, the fact that he was in the Gentleman's Cigar Club of Cleveland. He's, in fact, their vice president of digital affairs and communications. He is also in charge of the business card subcommittee.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing so well.
I don't know how long he's going to be in charge of the business card
subcommittee. I think he might be on double secret probation. I mean, Steve
takes it very seriously. Was Steve not Corey, very the chairman of the board.
Was not very happy with him when that whole business card issue came about.
It seems like he's asleep at the wheel, but we'll give him an opportunity to discuss that when he joins us today at 1:30 p.m. Mike Judge will be in studio. The kid and I will share our experiences, of course, of the Gentleman's Cigar Club of Cleveland, where we were last night, which was certainly a lot of fun. We are going to go ahead and hear from Kevin Jones from Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
Oh, my God.
I've done Mardi Gras. With some spectacular.
I never did Mardi Gras.
Dude, it's a blast.
And I should have been. I was at Emory in Atlanta. I should have gone to Mardi Gras. I never went to Mardi Gras. I did go to St. Paddy's Day in Savannah, which is supposed to be Mardi Gras-esque. And in my experience, what I imagined Mardi Gras to be, I found that at St. Paddy's Day in Savannah. So that was good. But I've never gone to Mardi Gras. I've had a good time in New Orleans.
You know what's very cool about Mardi Gras? It is, I mean...
I've heard that camera phones have ruined the Mardi Gras-ness of Mardi Gras.
They have, to a certain extent. Not so much. I've got some great photos that I can share with you. But my... My younger brother, Kurt, his ex-wife now at the time, surprised him with a trip to Mardi Gras to celebrate his birthday. So my wife and I were in a limo. We literally drive up to his place of work, which at the time was Pat O'Brien Chevrolet, and we put the mask on him. We give him the jester hat and everything. We literally ship him off to the airport to go to Mardi Gras, and it was fantastic. And the one great thing that I'll have to say is probably because of trial and error, as crazy as it is going on down there, I actually felt very safe because about every 10 paces was a cop.
Well, I don't know if you'd feel as safe now. There was apparently a shooting yesterday in the Mardi Gras parade. And interestingly enough, they just basically cordoned off the area and kept the parade going.
That's no surprise to me.
The show must go on, gentlemen. The show must go on.
Jones and Mardi Gras, though, is
we're going to have to ask him.
Is it
We've
Jones
heard he's
Solo?
Going. No, he's going down there with a member of the rotation, which I don't know if that's a great way to start.
Oh, that's
Mardi
just
Gras.
A rookie error.
He is with a female.
He's with a female, as Gibbs lets us know. We'll talk a little Tiger Woods. That's going to be tough for the kid, as Tiger Woods is, you know, we'll talk about that. We'll also hear Keith Olbermann gave a take on Johnny Manziel and Jimmy Haslam that was not flattering, and we'll certainly try to rebut that. Also, we want to talk about the following for you. Here's our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day to think about. Rank the following quarterbacks from number 1 to number 4 in terms of who you want to start for the Browns on opening day 2015. Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Brian Hoyer, and Johnny Manziel. Can we do 1 to 5? Can we add Nick Foles to that, Gibbs?
Sure.
Of course.
It's our show. So we do whatever we want.
1 to 5. Who do you want to be the starting quarterback for the Browns? Johnny Manziel, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Brian Hoyer, or Nick Foles? Who would you say? Johnny Manziel, speaking of, Tony Rizzo. Gibbs, what did Riz say? So I'm not misquoting it. Why don't you tell us what he said?
Yeah, came out this morning, reported that the Browns have spoken to some other teams, inquired about, the possibility of, I don't want to say trading, but, you know, would they be interested in that or – he's reporting that they've inquired about the value of Johnny Manziel, and they were disappointed with what they had gotten.
And this
back.
Again comes from one of those inside sources, correct?
Correct.
Okay. We need to get to the bottom of that.
We will certainly get to the bottom of that. I hope that we do. And the next question, you know, so would you keep, trade, or release Johnny Manziel? Would you be willing to give up your two first-rounders this year and a possible first-rounder next year to move up and take one of the top two quarterbacks in this draft? And then finally, Valentine's is Saturday. If you take your lady to any Cleveland restaurant for Valentine's Day, where would you go? Those are the Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day. 216-578-0850. Let me just say this on the Johnny Manziel thing. Nobody tries to trade an asset at its lowest value. At least nobody with business sense tries to divest themselves of an asset at the bottom of the asset's value. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't believe that the Browns are actively shopping Johnny Manziel. I also would say to you that I think general managers talk to other general managers and speak about players all the time. I think that there's an old saying in the NFL that nobody is off the table, and maybe you're gauging value. I personally don't think that's what's happening here, because I think you've got a quarterback who looked ill-prepared for the NFL, had off-field issue after off-field issue, and is now in rehab. It just does not, in my opinion, seem like that's the time to find out what kind of value somebody has.
No, I mean, and again, take a peek in the stock market. Do you let the Dow, or do you let your stock that you've invested a significant amount of money in dip extremely low, and you feel beaten and battered for having invested and not selling it high, and let this this tumbling even start before you start to go, should I sell my stocks now on the low, or do you hang on to it and let that value creep back up, especially regardless of what, you know, maybe what company you have those stocks in? If you have faith, if you're being guided properly, which we now hope that Johnny is, both through treatment and also to backing up his words of truly wanting to become a better professional athlete and an NFL football quarterback, then it's worth hanging on to, because right now, let him fall on his face again, but at least have more tape, you know. And as you said, Nathan, a lot of the anticipation for wanting to see Johnny Manziel start those couple of football games towards the end of the season was, I'm going to grasp onto the highs, the good, you know, that Johnny, and there was very little of it. So for right now, we have nothing to go off of.
Right. I just don't see why. I think it, you know, you hope that these inside sources will dry up sooner rather than later here for the Cleveland Browns. I just don't see right now, you know, them looking to deal Johnny Manziel. I think Jimmy Haslam has said he wants to do whatever it is to get the quarterback right. I still believe that the Browns drafted this guy in the first round a year ago. He's played seven quarters, and I don't think that they're just throwing their complete draft evaluation of him out right now.
No reason to get rid of him. There's just absolutely no reason to sell low. It just, you guys have said it all, but it's almost a stupid topic now. Unless there's somebody that's willing to come in and give you a first or second round pick, which I think is highly unlikely, you let it play out and see what happens. Maybe you have to dump them next summer for a fifth or sixth round pick, but it's way too early to do that right now.
I think that's exactly right. I think that this Johnny Manziel stuff, and it's as if the Browns cannot stay away, or cannot be kept away, I would say, from this kind of negative publicity, and this, they're trying to do that. I fully believe that the Browns want to do whatever they can to get this quarterback situation right. I still believe the Browns would say that they have opportunities at quarterback, whether it be in free agency, whether it be via trade, that could solidify this position. We've heard Ray Farmer continually talk about building a great team around the quarterback so that it places a little bit of less importance on it. But I just don't see this being the type of team that's going to mortgage three first-round picks to go get a Marcus Mariota. I think Marcus Mariota is more of a system quarterback anyway, and we've heard numerous scouts, including Mike Mayock, say that he's a guy, he's a one-read guy. He's going to have to learn a new system for everybody other than if he goes to Chip Kelly. That's the team that I think might mortgage the house to try to get him.
They should, and if we need to be the third team, I know you guys talked about this earlier this week, if we need to be the third team facilitating that and we could pick up more assets, I'm all for that.
I agree. I think you have the potential to maybe give up 12 for their 20 and maybe pull in a Nick Foles in the deal too. So you get a quarterback on a cheap contract. Yep. You really are picking 19 and 20. You still have two first-round picks in the draft. And I think you're still in pretty good shape because the way that the talent looks like it's going to fall, you'd still be able to get a good defensive lineman there and still get a good receiver there. I don't even know if that's feasible, let me just say. I don't know what – you know, they would certainly be looking for in Philadelphia to make that kind of a move, what they feel like they need to go after to get Mariota. But you would think if they're at 12, 12 to go to 6 could be 12 and maybe a future first. You know, think about the Browns went from 4 to 9, and I think that the valuation difference, you know, in the NFL draft board is significantly smaller from 6 to 12 than it is from 4 to 9.
The problem is that the Browns would probably want to pick up a future first, and then the team that they'd be trading with to get up to 6 or up to 5 is going to want a future first. Who gets next year's future first because that has more value? I just don't know that they have enough.
If you're the Browns, you could take a second this year. Why not?
Take a second this year, but then you'd want the first next year.
Why? You're going from 12 to 20.
Right.
So you're just dropping 8 spots in the first round. You're picking up Nick Foles and a second round pick. Why do you need a future first on top? I mean, if you're going to be greedy, why not? But, I mean, I think that that seems.
So you're saying 20 and their second.
Nick Foles.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
For 12.
Which
I don't know if they'd even do. I don't know if that's – we're talking insanity.
Well, because, right, if they do that, let's just take it from their standpoint. If they do that, then they're looking at – they've given up their 2 this year. To then get to 6 or 5, they probably got to give up 12. You think 12 and a number 1 gets them there? Or they got to give up 12, a number 1, and another number 2
next
year?
They might have to give up – well, think about for the – here, let me see if I can pull it up right now, if I can pull up the draft value chart. NFL draft trade value chart. Because if you think about what the Browns got to go from 4 to 9, so it's a 5-spot difference, and 4 is considered, you know, a more valuable pick than 6.
Well, but don't forget, the Jets might want Mariota themselves, so they may have to go to 5. I think to guarantee it, I mean, listen, if the Jets will do it, then they may be locked in there, but they might have to go to 5 to get it. And who are this 5? The Raiders?
The Raiders
yes.
are
4.
The Raiders historically.
Is it Bears 5?
Bears are 7.
The Raiders historically not that easy to trade with. I don't know. I mean, I think that if I'm Chip Kelly, I'm going all in because I know that he's going to be successful in my system. If I'm the Browns, you cannot take that chance.
Do you think the Raiders might be a team that could juggle around and drop a few picks? Because I know that most mock drafts have had them, you know, going wide receiver with Amari Cooper there. That if you look at the teams bubbled around the Raiders, there's no one that probably has Amari Cooper in their sights. They're going to go a different direction. So they might be able to drop from 4 to 7, 4 to 8, 4 to 9.
Yeah, because that's where Amari Cooper really should go. If we're being honest, Amari Cooper is not worthy of – if Watkins, you know, was one of the best prospects in years supposedly going for – I don't think Amari Cooper has the same upside as him.
I
like him a lot, but I think he's more of a
– Washington picks 5th, by the way.
Another team that you never know, another wild card team.
So here's the draft value chart. Would be the 4th pick or the 6th pick is worth 1600 points, the 12th pick is worth 1200 points. So for them, that means they'd have to make up a 400 point difference, which is the 50th pick. That's a second rounder. So in reality, they could do that, or
middle of
the
second round,
right?
Yeah,
to go from 12 to 20 is a 350 point difference, so a smaller difference.
So if we pick up a second, we're actually gaining points
and Foles. So if we picked up so maybe it'd be a 3rd and Foles. But that's still a good.
And what do you think a straight up trade value for Foles would be, like a 5th round pick?
Well,
I don't know. It's tough to say.
It just depends. If they're going to get Mariota, then his value obviously plummets because people know they're going to be playing Mariota.
Sure.
So in that, but I think if they were just going to trade him, I would think he's got to be worth a 3rd round pick.
And I think the one reason why, you know, the Foles name is very enticing, I would think, for Cleveland to be able to get it is because, again, inexpensive at quarterback as well, significant upside based on the way he played in 2013. And I think also John DeFilippo not really being rigid in his offensive set. You know, he's going to base it around the talent that we accumulate within his offense and not the other way around, allows him to play into the strengths that he draws from Foles' year in 2013 with the assets that we build around him here in Cleveland, potentially.
Yeah, and to segue into DeFilippo, Kevin Griffin sent out a great article on him the other day. Really got me fired up about this guy.
Kevin Jones?
Well, Kevin Griffin
tweeted
was the one that tweeted it out.
Yeah, it was Kevin Jones.
Kevin
article.
Jones wrote it. It was a great article. Credit to KJ, who's probably listening down in Mardi Gras right now. But
yeah,
it was talking about this guy wasn't even graduating college. He was taking seven-hour bus rides to start his coaching career. I mean, I was fired up when I read the article. And all the national people can crush the Browns all they want. Nobody wants to give you credit. It's not sexy to credit the Browns for anything. But I'm real excited after reading this article. Goodbye, Kyle Shanahan. I'm going to put my money on DeFilippo being a much better offensive coordinator.
Me too.
I love it. I hope that he is. I certainly hope that he is. So we'll talk this quarterback thing again. Today's Ohio Business Machine hot topic on the quarterbacks. Rank the following from number 1 to 5 in terms of who you'd want to start for the Browns on opening day. Mariota, Winston, Hoyer, Johnny Manziel. We added Foles in there. We don't know, obviously, if that's even possible. But if we could be that third team to facilitate Philly getting the assets it needs to go after Mariota, I think we know that they want to. It seems like it would make sense. That Foles could be on the market and could be somebody who could be a nice fit here in this offense for the Cleveland Browns. So just a way to think about it. Again, what do you do with Johnny Manziel? Tony Rizzo reporting that the Browns have shopped him and are at least gauging interest in other teams from as a trade asset. I would be surprised if that is actually the case, but I think that people talk all the time about, hey, what do you think about this guy or what do you think about that guy? I think that happens all the time. I just don't think the Browns would actively shop an asset at the absolute rock bottom of its value. Also, would you be willing to give up 2 first-rounders this year and a possible one from next year to move up and take one of these top 2 quarterbacks? Let us know, and we will certainly talk about that when we come back here. 216-578-0850. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.